Audacity. In Jamaica, the manhunt continues for a suspect who gunned down a policeman. I am Ken Richards. More in Friday's Caribbean News Roundup. In Jamaica, the manhunt continues for the suspect in the killing of a policeman in St. Thomas. The police constable was gunned down after residents alerted him to a suspicious man in the area. CVM News reports.
The police have intensified their investigation into the brutal slaying of one of their own in Trinityville, St. Thomas, on Monday.
The police are still on the hunt for the suspect or suspects involved in the killing of District Constable Forsyth. We have extended that search right across the division to other areas in a bid to apprehend these persons. We're asking citizens with information who can assist us to provide same to us. We need to get these persons before a court of law to answer to charge or charges that may arise from the incident.
37-year-old Mark Antonio Forsyth, a district constable assigned to the Trinityville Police Station, was shot and killed by unknown assailants after he went to investigate what citizens say were suspicious-looking men in the area. Forsyth succumbed to his wounds at hospital.
He approached the man we saw. The man responded by putting firing gunshots on the district constable. He received 3 gunshots to the head, the neck, and the chest, and he fell. The operation support unit was close by, came to his assistance, and rushed him to the Princess Margaret Hospital, where he was pronounced dead at about 4:30 p.m.
The officer lived in close proximity to where he was coldly murdered. CVM Live understands Forsyth was unarmed and off duty at the time of his death.
We will not relent. We'll continue our pursuit or search for this person until he's apprehended.
This is the 4th murder in the Seaforth area since January.
The Grenadian Prime Minister says he is confident that the government can still achieve its CBI goals despite the recent restrictions placed by United States officials on investors' visas. More on this from GBN News.
Speculation is rife that the Citizenship by Investment program, which accounts for a huge portion of the country's GDP, has been dealt a serious blow following adjustments to the United States E-2 visa arrangement. However, Prime Minister Deacon Mitchell, who is the line minister for CBI, disagrees that the adjustments made last December could potentially harm the inflow of CBI receipts into the National Transformation Fund.
Grenada is the only island that offers a CBI program currently that has an E-2 visa treaty with the U.S.
Grenada signed an E-2 investor treaty with the United States in 1989. The treaty allows a national of a country with which the United States maintains a treaty of commerce and navigation to be admitted to the United States when investing a substantial amount of capital in a U.S. business. On December 15, 2022, the United States Congress passed the James M. Inhofe National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2023, which contains changes to the eligibility for e-visas. Now, persons who have acquired citizenship of a treaty country via financial investment must be domiciled in the treaty country for at least 3 years.
It's labeled one for the road, CCC to address flooding in the St. Lucian capital, Castries. NBC Prime News with that story.
When it rains, it pours, and the city of Castries is an area prone to flooding. In recent weeks, the Castries Constituency's Council has commenced work in various parts of the capital referred to as areas of concern. The pavements are due for a facelift and routine drain maintenance, according to Castries Mayor Geraldine Lindo Gabriel. The mayor feels this should help rectify that problem and disclosed that various drains in Castries have been assessed.
We saw We see that place floods all the time. There's been some issues which have prevented the drains from functioning as they should, so we are doing that. And we also will place a little more focus on ensuring that we are maintaining those drains and that we are minimizing issues which impact the ability of the drains to be well maintained.
Lendo Gabriel says this is a venture the council hopes to continue as long as it has the available resources.
Once the resources are available, we will be placing it in those areas to ensure that we give the persons who come in to Castries a better experience, and importantly, it will help us address some of the issues of flooding in the city.
Work has been done on Chaussee Road, High Street, and now St. Louis Street, Castries. Chelsea Austine, NBC Prime.
The Guyana government says local content laws are not a deterrent to investors. Here's Guyana News Source.
Guyana's Minister of Natural Resources, Vikram Bharat, has assured potential investors for the energy sector that the country's local content laws are not to discourage them from coming to Guyana, but rather the laws are there to streamline how business is conducted in the country and to ensure that Guyanese businesses are given an equal opportunity in the oil and gas sector. During an interactive session at the International Energy Conference this morning, the minister made it clear that the government has an open-door policy to investment and to investors coming into the country, and therefore will not put any blockage in the way.
The local content legislation is in no way a hindrance to investment coming into Guyana. It was never designed to be a hindrance to development or investment coming into our country, because we do need investors. We do need partners to develop our resources in this country.
The local content legislation was introduced just over a year ago. While the legislation has been hailed by the local private sector, it has been criticized by some investors. Months after the passage of the legislation, the local content secretariat found itself at the center of a court battle after it refused to grant a license to Trinidadian-based company Rams Logistics to continue to operate in the local oil and gas sector.
In Trinidad and Tobago, the court blocks five being deported. Lawyers claim Cameroonians in danger of being killed back home. The Voice was done by Trinity Audio.
The High Court has temporarily blocked the Immigration Department from deporting five Cameroonians who arrived in this country last November after fleeing their homeland, fearing they would have been killed by military forces there. Less than 4 hours before they were to be placed on a flight to Panama and then back to Cameroon, attorneys petitioned the High Court, asking it to grant an interim injunction preventing the deportations. Just before midnight on Tuesday, Justice Carol Gobin granted the application in chamber without an actual hearing taking place. The five were to depart Piarco International Airport on a Copa Airlines flight at 3:37 a.m. yesterday. Fearing if the group of two men and three women were to be sent back home, they would be killed, attorneys Om Lala, Elisha Mainarikar, and Aaron Mahabir filed the court action late on Tuesday evening. The attorney said the three women, Bertha Takum Obanechi, A. Katie Magrata Foilasong, and Vanessa Njekinjek, were recently interviewed by officials from the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, and were deemed eligible last week to receive refugee status. This, however, does not mean that they are to remain in Trinidad and Tobago, but can be relocated to another appropriate country that was deemed suitable by the UNHCR. According to the attorneys in their application, the Immigration Department was aware of this, was ignoring the process of the UNHCR, and took the decision to have the group sent back to Cameroon nonetheless. The two men, on the other hand, Humphrey Nchnangfer and Bringsluck Frunch, a father and son, are to face a final interview by UNHCR officials to determine whether they too were eligible to receive refugee status.
Just to inform our listeners that there will be no Caribbean News Roundup on Monday 20th and Wednesday 22nd February because of the Dominica Carnival. And that's the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards.